This is the Power 98.7 Podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 Podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Welcome back. The big news of the day, company-wise, was Pick and Pay and its performance, a 20% rise in earnings. And we're on the line with me. I have Fabian Makuere, a financial analyst at Intellidex, and we're just unwrapping this Pick and Pay story. Fabian and Johnny?
Hi,
Fabian. Hello. How are you?
I'm well, and you? How are you, Ron?
I'm right, and yourself?
Fabian, I'm good.
Your thoughts, your initial thoughts on these Pick and Pay results. What was your reading into them?
Pick and Pay has been trying to do things right for the past 4 or 5 years. Yep. When Richard Brescia took over. Mm. And it seems whatever has been putting in place is starting to pay off. Yep. And I'm actually impressed with their results, given the poor consumer environment that we are in.
I mean, this goes to say, like, lots of our retailers have been focusing on expansion offshore and stuff. Pick and Pay is the one, because of its poor its history, had to focus on its internal operations. And here you see some evidence of it bearing some fruit.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, if you look at their offshore operations, they actually did badly. But because it's a very small component of their sales, yeah. If you compare it with its peers, it wasn't sort of hit badly by offshore shells. I think they only contributed less than 5%. Yeah. If you compare with the likes of ShopRite or Spa, you're looking at upwards of 20% contribution from offshore operations. Yeah. So yeah, they've been getting things right sort of within South Africa, and they are, even the increase in volume speaks volumes of sort of the kind of work that they are doing. About 5% up. This is quite commendable, like I said, given that the environment, the consumer environment, is very poor.
Yeah, I mean, they've added 110 new stores. I mean, this means they're taking market share from, I guess, the more ShopRite and the other competitors.
Yeah, it looks like it. Also, incidentally, ShopRite has had a bad year. So, getting sort of things wrong in its supply chain, which, on the other hand, actually Pick and Pay managed to do their supply chain. They're trying to get it in place because they've been lagging behind for a bit far too long now.
Yeah. I know, and Pick and Pay is historically, they've treated their workers better than the other retailers, but they've had, over the past 5 years, under Brescia at least, had to deal with those costs, right, when it comes to that workforce that people always said, which was, I guess, a hindrance to Pick and Pay when compared to more the ShopRite, Spa, and the like.
Yes. So, Pick and Pay, one of the things that Brescia wanted to get right was the labor, the ratio of labor cost to sales. Mm. So it's starting to get in line, but if you look at the actual numbers, it's still relatively higher than its peers like Spar and the likes of ShopRite. Mm. So I think it's something, if you remember last year, they came up with the severance package deal for about 200 million. So that has helped, but the impression that I have is that this will only start to pay off later on as they let off older workforce and let in newer ones at lower rates, probably over time. I think it will be very gradual. It will not probably see instant results with regards to, how they're going to deal with their labor costs.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of pricing, it's been a huge price war amongst our grocers. Why has Pick and Pay managed to cut outprice everyone in the market? I mean, there's like Boxer stores. The Boxer was a big part of their results. How have they managed to basically play very well in terms of this pricing game, I guess, compared to us?
Again, the Pick and Pay story goes back to what I think Richard has been doing. So if you look, say, around in the mid-2000s, Pick and Pay and ShopRite, they were basically having sort of the same operating margins, around 3%. But ShopRite obviously got it right and improved to around 5 or above 5 where it is now. With Pick and Pay, things got rather poor. But then the main reason really was the poor supply chain sort of execution. Mm. So that's one thing that they've been trying to get right. So if you look at, say, 5 years ago, their supply chain centralization level was about 43%, which is less than half.
Yeah.
But now the result upwards of 75%. So it's one place where they've really gotten managed to extract a lot of margin. So because of that, they are using that to offer good deals to clients,
mm-hmm.
and as a result, they're obviously competitive price wise. And managing to take sort of, I think, market share from its competitors.
You know, when Pick and Pay's problems really came to the fore, there's the huge issue was the Pick and Pay hypermarket, and then these big box retailers that Pick and Pay had, these big parking lots and so on, and they almost had to restructure the business and focus on the smaller format. Has that paid off for Pick and Pay?
Yeah, I think so, because if you look at what the annual report says, actually some of the a lot of their growth is coming from these smaller format shops these convenience shops. So I think that is actually paid off, because I think these bigger format shops, they in terms of what you call it, the operating costs, they are high. So it has to be run very efficiently, and you struggle to run it efficiently, then you have this very high thing that's generating a lot of cost for you, but then the top line is very poor. So, yeah, I think the smaller format shops has really paid off.
What is the future? I don't know, like, of these big box type retailer grocers in South Africa. I'm noticing also in the malls that Edgar's is cutting down its size quite significantly. What is the future of these stores, do you think? Is it a thing of a bygone era?
Perhaps, but not right away. But I think as we move into the future, it's possible that we are going to get less and less people walking into these brick and mortar shops.
Yeah.
So what also Pick and Pay has done right is to push their smart shopper card to consumers, to customers. And they have been at the forefront of using data analytics, something that, say, the likes of ShopRite are actually not doing. So Pick and Pay has really been generating a lot of value from it. Plus, they've also put an online sales channel, which together with the Smart Shopper initiative should actually help them in future, because we see clients moving away from these, these brick and mortar shops to online purchases. So I think this might actually put Pick and Pay in good stead in future ahead of its peers, because it's already experimenting with it, and we're actually seeing good results out of it.
I mean, this makes me think of a company like Massmart, which, there's a market a place, I guess, for a macro, but Game is also quite a big store format, and how Massmart is kind of, when you look at Game and how they've struggled with Game, it's also, they at some point have to deal with the smaller format option, right?
If you look at the Massmart results, they've actually struggled with the Game part of their business. Mm. So I think, and if you actually go at Rosebank or wherever a Game is, they are quite big, and you can't really make sense of what they're actually trying to do. Yeah. So you've got one area of appliances, and it's I think the whole concept of departmental stores is really struggling, not just in South Africa, but even if you look globally, we've seen a number of these department type formats sort of scaling back, and some of them actually filing for bankruptcy.
Yeah. I mean, the Time Bank and Pick and Pay. I mean, I had an interview this week with the Time Bank CEO. 250,000 people, clients signed up in the past 6 months or so. That traffic of people coming into Pick and Pay just to do their banking, it's new, right? It's new business for them. This must be good for Pick and Pay, right? This marriage seems a very successful marriage, as well.
Yeah, I suppose anything that can get customers to walk through into your store, it can be bad for business, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And your view on a huge part of Brash's thing has been the loyalty cards. The jury's still out on that. Loyalty cards, what's your take on loyalty cards and how it helps retailers?
Because, you know, when I started looking at Pick and Pay, I sort of really wanted to understand what goes on with their smart shopper. So I actually enrolled and I wanted to see how it works. So I would imagine, speaking as a consumer, it's quite helpful, particularly for people with big families and in this environment that we are in where things are really tight. You you know, you're trying to watch your purse and get value for your money. So what they do with the smart shop is that they sort of got these targeted, you know, promotions based on your spending habits, which I think is very useful, particularly in this age where consumers are becoming more service conscious and obviously very technologically savvy. Yeah.
Lastly, before I leave, as it was past 6:30, ShopRite need a missing Whitey person, or is it something will get right? What is your take on that?
Yeah. But, you know, the problems of ShopRite, of course, there is that you could say they are missing a white person, but it's something that actually there are challenges now. It's a legacy of sort of something that happened when Bison was there, because they could not, they're still trying to get their IT right and, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's something that probably you should have fixed when you were there. But, I think it's probably a passing thing. Could be very transitory, because it's something that can be fixed, and you know, it can always go back to where it is. And also, you know, ShopRite has very good margins, so they can afford to take it, you know, and knock and still be profitable. But hopefully, they'll get things right in future. Yeah.
All right. No, thank you very much for that, Fabian. That was Fabian Makwere, Intellidex financial analyst.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.